In first century Israel, during the time of today's Holy Gospel, things weren't very good. As a matter of fact, they were less than good. There was faulty leadership, both the government leaders and the religious leaders. People were living under the thumb of the Romans. There was lack of faith, but on the other hand, as we heard even in today's gospel, there were also miracles and signs of hope. The evidence of this hope is in the Gospels. All we have to do is check the Gospel of Mark, and we've been, if you recall, the last several weeks, we've been going through the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and we learned that people of Israel are walking around like sheep without a shepherd. They are looking and longing for deliverance from their struggles. Jesus saw that these people were spiritually hungering and thirsting for words of righteousness. But these starving people had no faithful spiritual pastors to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were supposed to do this. They were supposed to lead and guide them. But these men who claimed to be their shepherds were blinded by their own sin and their own self-righteousness. These spiritual leaders were not leaders at all, but men who were only out for their own monetary gain and for the people to exalt them and give them reverence for the position that they held. Sadly, because they had no true shepherds, the people of Israel were dying from a starvation for the truth. They got no spiritual food given to them in any of their synagogues. Their king, who was appointed actually through Roman leadership, was off with his cohorts, carousing, lusting after women, and beheading prophets. These people were desperate for true leadership. And they felt destitute and hopeless. There seemed to be no way out for them. And then into their lives walks a man from Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. Suddenly in their very midst is a teacher, a preacher, a rabbi, a minister, a prophet, and someone who came upon them like a breath of fresh air to the hungry souls and hopeless existence that they were living. Jesus' reputation had spread like wildfire through the region. His name had become well known, and everybody could tell that this man was different. He was not just some scribe who only cared for his own fortune. This man named Jesus, Yeshua, which means salvation, was different. He was a man who showed that he had compassion, a man who had answers for their questions. And more importantly, here was a man who actually practiced what he preached. His words were powerful, informative, and refreshing to one's soul. His words brought hope and a newness of life to every person. It's what they longed for. He walked the talk, if you will, so they followed him. And as we read in the gospel today, sometimes relentlessly, chasing before him through the town so that they would be there when he arrived. Have you ever been in a situation where you just need a break? You need to get away? Maybe you just need to go hide for a little while. Even if it's from the kids or whatever, you just need some solitude, a little peace and quiet. I see some heads going like this. Oh yeah, yeah, I know, we've been there. You got to go and recharge your batteries. That's what vacations are all about, you know, or even a day off now and then. The disciples had just returned from being sent out on their mission in 2x2. You remember? Jesus told them to shake the dust off if their message was not received, and they were to bring nothing with them in order to show their faith to those they came in contact with. Well, at this point, they really needed to get away. They were pooped, to put it plainly. And so they got into a boat to get some alone time with Jesus. But it seemed that the people's need was greater than theirs. And so the people followed the disciples to where they were going. and arrived there before the boat did. There would be no break, no rest for the weary. You can just imagine the disciples' frustration and exasperation. All four of the Gospels give a very detailed account of the miraculous event that's about to come that conveyed the compassion and love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and his willingness to provide for those who are his followers. And this was a perfect example of Jesus' desire to reach out in love and use his power to benefit others for no other reason than the fact that he loved them and had compassion for them. Jesus told his disciples to stop worrying about getting rid of the people. And he told them, you give them something to eat. Jesus insisted that the disciples find out what bread was available to check and see what might be back in the boat or also from the crowd. And the disciples returned with an answer. There are only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The Gospel of John tells us there were 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish belonging to a young boy. Jesus emphasized the word you in order to remind the disciples to start with what you've got before you ask God to give you more. By telling them, you give them something to eat, and given that a denarius was a day's wages, 200 denarii would be enough to feed the crowd. Where are you going to get that from? I mean, Judas is holding on to the purse strings, and I'm sure he wasn't going to make that readily available. But Jesus said, and he was stressing the sheer impossibility for their doing this for the whole crowd. He wanted to drive that point home, and it was probably more than their resources would cover. Now, the gospel tells us that the grass was green, and so from that we can tell that it's springtime. And I'll tell you why. You see, green grass only happens in the spring when there's rain and the melting of the snow from the mountains comes down. Water is abundant at that time. The Jordan River overflows. And so there's green grass. The rains stop in May. So later in the year, and we can tell you from example, the grass is scorched, dried, and brown. The people sat on the green grass in groups of hundreds and 50, probably near the time of Passover. And it's important because this is the time as reminiscent of the miracle that God performed daily for the people of Israel in the wilderness, providing manna for their survival. And so Jesus had them sit down in groups. And this points back to Exodus 18, when Moses chose leaders in groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Now, if you recall, we just said that the disciples had just returned from their road trip. They had been sent out 2 by 2, but had been empowered to heal and perform miracles on this journey. I need to tell you, and I want to suggest that it's important for us to remember that this incredible miracle took place in Jesus' own hands and not the hands of the disciples. You see, whatever we give to Jesus, he can bless and multiply. I believe it's remarkable that we have a Lord and Savior who can solve our every problem, meet our every need, and then enable us to minister to others, just as that day on the Galilee 2,000 years ago. I tell you, I wish I could have been there to see Jesus as he gave the customary blessing, the customary Jewish blessing over the loaves and the fish. He probably prayed a prayer that sounded like this. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. But he said, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. The remarkable and wonderful thing is that the blessing was not on the food. The blessing was on the God who gave it. Jesus looked up to heaven, trusting in his Father for a miraculous provision of food. And then he broke the loaves into pieces, divided the fish into portions, and gave, which in the Greek imperfect tense that was used meant kept giving. It's, I know we teasingly always talk about the gift that keeps on giving. This is truly it. He gave the portions to his disciples, and then they gave it to the people. Little by little, piece by piece, Jesus began to break away pieces of bread and fish. The more he broke off and gave away, the more that was left. Can you just imagine what a miracle that was? You see, Jesus didn't take the fish and turn them into two whales so everybody could go and run and have as much as they wanted. He didn't take the five loaves and turn them into huge Wonder Breads so that people could go up and cut themselves a slice or three. No, that's not what he did. Just the same, little by little, piece by piece, Jesus would take a piece and give it away until all 5,000 men and their wives and their children were filled. This is more than a miracle, my friends. It's a lesson for us about the nature and the character of Almighty God and of Jesus Christ, his Son. You see, Jesus didn't qualify or stipulate to the disciples who would get to eat and who wouldn't, or in what order. He left no one out. Hear this again. Jesus didn't qualify to the disciples, well, this side gets and this side doesn't. He gave to everyone. He gave and he left no one out. He gave through his disciples the gift of food and so the gift of life. It was up to those present to either receive the blessing of the food or not. And that's the way God offers salvation to the world. There are no strings attached. Just believe and ask to be changed through repentance. You see, God doesn't choose who is going to be successful in life. He isn't in a good mood on some days and in a bad mood on some others. He doesn't look at one person and say, I like you. You get everything I've got. And then look at someone else and say, I don't know what it is about you. You just bug me. You rub me the wrong way. You don't get anything. No, God has no favorites. He loves everyone equally. And his offer of salvation is to the whole world. We all know John 3:16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He loves equally, and his offer of salvation is to the whole world. But here's where the catch is. And it's not a catch that God has put in there. It's one that man has caused. God knows who is going to receive and accept and who is not. He offers it freely anyway. He offers it through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross at Calvary. Jesus chose willingly to get on the cross that he had carried and submitted to the hammer and the nails. Just as he freely gives salvation to those who believe in him, he freely gave the food to the masses that day in the Galilee. I'm going to ask you to open your pew Bibles just once and turn to page 320, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This is very important for us to understand. At the bottom of the page in the right-hand column, you see chapter 30, verse 19. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. My friends, that's what it comes down to. It's a choice before the world. Jesus is life. Everything else is death. The choice is simple. The choice is clear. And the choice is yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.